Let's just pray a moment. Father, we just pray that your word today will go deep down into our spirits and will be quickened to us. And that, Father, each and every one of us would receive something personally from you, Lord. That you would minister to us. Lord, you would challenge us and lift us, encourage us. Lord, for whatever our need is, Lord, you know it. And so we just pray, Father, that the words that were spoken would, Lord, be words of quickening life and power. That, Lord, come from your very throne room. We just ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Jesus would be glorified and that Jesus would be magnified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about eternal food. That's got one or two smiles. Eternal food, you know. Sometimes it feels like on a weekend when we come here, when we have a special, we seem to have eternal food, don't we? Eh? Glory to God. You know, it's lined up down that side and it seems to go on and on and on forever. Hallelujah. But the thing is, we have to keep coming back for that, don't we? You know, we get hungry again, don't we? And on that note, I'd like to thank Dilip and everybody else that helped in that area of preparation for the weekend. It was fantastic. And we give you thanks. Just want to say, you know, thank God for every one of you that put some effort and pressed in and helped. And in every different way, shape and form, to make it a wonderful weekend.
Yes, it was.
And a time that we could celebrate the good things of God that he's done for us and prepare for the next 12 months.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's press in. You know,
yes.
I believe that word on Saturday evening,
yes.
We're here,
yes.
For such a time
as this.
You're here now.
Amen.
You're here in this century.
Amen.
At this date. For such a time as this.
Amen.
To do something.
Yes.
Mighty.
Praise God.
And don't say, well, I'm only a small, insignificant person. That's just who God is looking for.
Yes,
the
is.
Insignificant ones.
Yes,
the one that seem to be inadequate.
Yes. Amen.
God wants to use you. Are you available?
I am. Amen.
Are you available?
I am.
And don't tell me you're too old. Moses started at 80.
Yes.
So I think that lets everybody out at the moment. So you've got to be young enough at this stage. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. And if you're feeling old and weary and worn out, well, you need some eternal food. That will bring a quickening into your hearts and into your lives. And we'll begin to challenge us and move us forward.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't, I hope by the time I finish talking to you, you will. Right? Glory to God. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, and it's chapter 4. And we're going to commence to read from verse 5 to verse 14. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And when Jesus had to pass through Samaria, Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob bought for his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, was sitting by the well. And it was about 12 o'clock midday. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I'm a Samaritan woman?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob. Are you who give us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered to her and said, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give them shall become a well of water springing up into eternal life." Hallelujah. The water that springs up into eternal life. Praise his wonderful name. Great story about this woman as well. She's a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans don't connect with each other. Tend to be at loggerheads, disputing. And suddenly Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." He wanted some water that's refreshing. We all need water, don't we? Without this, physically, we shall die. Is that not true? Now, the guys that have been in the army, they know about survival, don't you? Survival techniques, and if there's no water, they have some good sources where they can find some form of water. Is that true? That's one of the things you were taught, wasn't it? You need water. It's very important that you need water. You can go without food longer than you can go without water. Is that correct? Okay. Some folk can go longer without food than others, shall we say. But you can't go very long without you take a sip of water. It's crucial for life. Hands up who's had a drink of water today. Yeah? You've had a drink of water of some sort today. Cup of tea. Come on. You know, tea, coffee is all made from water. Did you not know that? Wow. Glory to God. I just saw, my Lord, you know, Even the fruit juices that we drink contain water. Is that not true?
Yeah.
So we've all drunk some water today. Who drank some water yesterday? Yeah. You drank water yesterday. You had a cup of tea, coffee, orange juice. You know, there's water in it. So every one of you has been drinking. He said that is essential to our natural life, is it not? And so Jesus here is saying to this woman, "Give me a drink of water." He was thirsty. It was midday. The sun was blaring down. He'd walked a journey. He was a little weary. And water quenching his thirst. He had no bucket to drop down the well. He had no container to draw the water with. And he said to this woman, "Give me to drink." And at first she's offended. do you think you are? And then Jesus says to her, you know, if you knew who it was, the Son of God, who was asking you for water, you would have said to me, give me a drink. And today, you know, the Lord Jesus wants you and I to drink of that living water of the Spirit of God that feeds our spirit. Right? There's something else that is very essential to life. What could that be? Very, very important for you and I to live. What is it? Thank you. You're spot on now. Air. The air that we breathe. It's very essential for life. Did you know that? Let's try an experiment, shall we? Everybody looking this way, try this experiment. I want everybody to take a deep breath and hold it for as long as you can. All right? You ready? And don't breathe again, just hold it. Are you now, come on, let's try that again. Okay, you know. Are you ready? You know, just come on. I need just to. Are you ready? You know, no laughing. You know, you've got to hold it. Okay. See how long you can hold it for. Okay. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. See, you can't do it, can you? Yeah, they're all like, I'm going to hold it. You see, you can't manage without air, can you? You can't manage without oxygen. Huh? It's impossible, isn't it? Charles is doing quite well. Steady on, Charles. You're going a bit red in the face. You can breathe now, brother. Getting very competitive. But for every one of us, we must breathe. It is essential to life. Would you agree? I did something the other day. I was in the bathroom. And you know, you get flies now and again. This time of year, they manage to get in the house and they start to buzz around. And you suddenly, if they're a little bit sort of slow. And I had this little plastic cap that covers like an aerosol spray, and it was on the side, and this fly landed right by the side of me, and this cap was right beside of me, and I just went bang, and I caught this fly, and it was late at night, and I thought, oh, I'll deal with it in the morning, I'll throw it out in the morning. Well, I left it until the morning, and I discovered something. You'll be quite amazed at this one, Edwin. Flies need oxygen as well. This one had died during the night through lack of oxygen, believe it or not. And I'm like, wow, really? You know? So it just shows you that everything around us, all of creation, needs oxygen. Amazing. Interesting. So the natural life around us needs water. If you want plants to grow, plants need water, don't they? If you want to have nice big fat peppers, you've got to keep watering the plant and you get these nice big juicy peppers. So every time, everything we have needs water, needs air for it to grow and to come forth. That's for our physical side. That's for the bit that we see. Isn't it? You know, we need the water for this that we see. We need breath for this that we see. But what about the inner man that we don't see? What about the Spirit of God that has been born within us that we don't see? That Spirit needs to be fed. It needs to have oxygen. It needs to be refreshed. And we need to refresh it. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 22. John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 22. This is when Jesus meets his disciples and he spends some time and he talks with them. And then he said this to them. He said, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Let me give you something else just to dig that a bit deeper. Receive the breath of God. Receive the breath of God. Not a fly. And as we receive the breath of God, then it creates and brings life into our very spirit. When God created Adam, Adam was made from the dust of the earth. And then God breathed into Adam. And he became a living soul. And every day, Adam had communion, had a relationship, had conversation with God. And so for each and every one of us today, as Jesus said to his disciples, he breathed upon them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the breath of God. And as we receive the breath of God, each day, we're giving life. We're maintaining the life of the Spirit within us. And that is so important. We get up on a morning. I'm probably just about guarantee every morning you probably have breakfast, have something to eat, have something to drink. Lunchtime, have something to eat, something to drink, even if it's only a nibble. Evening meal, something to eat, something to drink. Essentials for life in the natural. But in the same way, God gave us His Word. Have something to eat. Have something to drink of the Spirit of God. Maintain that spiritual life. Because that spiritual life causes us to become strong. That spiritual life gives us the ability to witness to people. That spiritual life gives us the ability to pray for people. That spiritual life gives us the ability to speak into a person's life, to share our testimony, because we're hearing from God Himself. When we're filled with the Spirit, we begin to hear what God is saying in His throne room about our situation. The Spirit begins to tell us, this is what God is saying about the circumstance, the situation you're in. He says, don't worry about your circumstance. Don't worry about your situation. I've got all your finances sorted out. Amen. Leave it to me. Amen. Just do the work of the King. Yes. Do the work of the kingdom. And as you know, even this week, as you do, and as Jesus said, I've just been about my Father's business.
Yes. Yeah.
He was about his Father's business. And he knew that Father would deal with everything else.
Amen.
He knew that Father would sort out everything else that was needful for him at that time. So whatever you need, be about the Father's business. And when you are about the Father's business, Father says, oh, I have a child, I have a son, I have a daughter that needs this. I'll arrange it. God's a great arranger. God is a great provider. One of his Old Testament names is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So whatever you need of, he's there for you. He's the one who will provide. And sometimes it comes through lifelines, it comes through circumstances, it comes through people we least expect.
Yes, most often.
That's the way God does it.
Yeah.
You know, consider Elisha and the widow woman. There she is, she's got nothing. Her two sons are being taken away. She has nothing. But her husband gave everything to the work of God. And now she's a widow. And she says, I'm just about homeless. I'm just about destitute. I've got nothing left. And he turns up, the prophet, sent by God, knocks on the door, basically. And there she is, she's just about to prepare her last meal. Get everything ready. And he begins to talk to her, begins to share with her. He says, what have you got? Well, I've just got this small container of oil. Good, he says. Here's an opportunity for God to do great things.
Yes.
Yeah? Here's an opportunity for God to do great things. So he said to her, go round through the village. Go to everybody's house and say to them, how many empty containers have you got? And gather them all in. And she gathered from every household every empty container that she could get her hands on. And she filled her house with these empty containers. And the prophet said to her, close the door, begin to pour.
Amen.
And don't stop pouring until every vessel is full and running over. And she began to pour. You know, she got a big one and she's got this little vessel, you know. You're going to need some faith, aren't you? When you've got a small vessel and a big jug. And you begin to pour. And it continues to pour. And it keeps going until it's full.
Amen.
And then you get another one. And you continue to pour. And you keep filling. And suddenly you've done 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. This is God. These are the days of miracles. God is at work. And my Bible says in Hebrews, it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not and does not change. He's always going to be there. He will always provide. He will always be the healer. He will always be the Savior. He will always be my Redeemer. He will always love us. He will always be there for us. He's our brother. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not going to change. Amen. I change not, he says.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And so the miracles that happened in the Old Testament are still available today.
Yes.
Whatever we have need of, God will provide. And when Jesus came in the New Testament, and he began to show people, he began to do signs, wonders and miracles. People were healed. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Another provision, another one of those where just keep breaking the bread. Just keep breaking the fish and give it into 12 baskets. And then just take it out and give out from the 12. Let them take as much as they want. And then when everybody had eaten, when everybody was full, they went and gathered up the remains and brought back 12 baskets full.
Amen.
Hang on. We've just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now we've come back with 12 baskets full. It's just continued to increase and increase and increase. God is my God. Your God is a God of multiplication. It's not a God of just adding to. He multiplies. He says he gives, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is the God that we serve. And this is the God that wants to spend each day with us. He wants you to spend time with him.
Yes.
As we spend time with God, he begins to fill us.
Yes.
And then we begin to overflow. And then he begins to equip us and gives us the words to share with people outside. That we might bring the word of the Lord.
Yes.
That we might bring encouragement to people.
Yes.
There are thousands of people living in this area that do not know Jesus. Thousands of people. And do you know something? You might be the only person that will tell them. That is a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility. It's called a Great Commission. Jesus said, go! Go! Go out into all the world. Speak the gospel. Tell them of my love. Do signs, wonders and miracles. Pray for people. You see, when you pray for people, it's not you doing anything. But it's the God, the Holy Spirit, that flows through you. That causes you to bring heaven down onto this very earth and minister the glory and the power of God into a person's life by the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is what God, this is what we are called for. This is what God has intended us to live for. Says in Matthew, don't be concerned about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Sufficient is the day. You see, God's more interested as well in your eternal destiny. That's why Jesus came. He came that you and I might know our eternal destiny. There's a world out there, and every one of them has an eternal destiny. Is it to live with God and to rule and reign with Christ? Or is it to receive eternal punishment and damnation? It's not about nationality. It's not about creeds. It's about individuals. There are people outside who are going to a lost eternity. They're going to a place of eternal damnation. They're going to a place called hell, where there's eternal punishment. I was reading something just the other day on Facebook, and somebody was basically saying, well, you know, it'll be fine, it'll be okay. Everybody is going to get saved. Everybody will, no matter what's going to happen, everybody's going to get into heaven. I don't see that. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that is why when we take Him while we're alive, and we ask Him to be our Lord and Savior. Jesus, even in the Word of God, says, He talks about Lazarus and the rich man. Yeah. And Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. That means he's in the presence of God's saints. But the rich man is in torment. He says the flames are tormenting him and he wants a drink of water. He wants just somebody to come and touch his tongue with a drop of water to ease his pain. Don't accept a watered-down Christianity. Don't accept a watered belief. Everyone needs to acknowledge in this life that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and take Him and have a relationship with Him and begin to live every day with Jesus. You can't just put your hand up and say, I'll accept Christ, and then go on living as you want to live. It's not going to work. You've no relationship with Him. You see, this book, the Bible as it's called, is the manual for living life on earth right now. This is how you live the good life. Through living the Word of God. This is how you stay fit and healthy and prosperous and blessed and powerful and anointed. By spending time in the Word of God. And spending time on having the Holy Spirit minister into your heart and into your life. These days, many of us got motor cars. You can guarantee at some stage it does that annoying thing. A sign comes up on the dashboard, a red light or an orange light, and it says, service required. And to get the light to go out, you don't take the bulb out, you don't take the fuse out, you take it to the garage. And they get the manual out for the car. And they deal with any problems. And they service it and get it ready to run the next 18,000 miles. We don't run 18,000 miles or 12 months just on feeding once on the Word of God. We need to feed daily. The Word of God needs to be in our lives daily, working through us, quickening us. And as that begins to happen, we see God moving in power. You see, if we don't have a daily relationship with God, it's like the fact of try to stop breathing. It's just about, well, I think it's impossible, isn't it? You know, for some reason, our bodies are designed that we breathe even when we're not thinking about breathing. Have you noticed that? If you try and hold your breath, at some stage, your body says, breathe, and it just happens. You just breathe. In that same way, there's a cry in the spirit of every man and woman wanting to breathe of the Spirit of God. Every man and woman needs to be connected with his Creator and breathe of the Spirit of God and partake of that divine life, because in that divine life it gives you power. It gives you the authority to live. It gives you peace and allows you to begin to move in such a way where when you meet people on the streets or in shops, you can talk to them and just tell them about Jesus. You can share your testimony of what God's done for you, how God has changed you, how God has quickened you, how God's healed you, how God's delivered you, how He's set you free. People only hear when the disciples speak. They're looking for living testimonies. They're looking for people who the Christ is living inside of them. My question to each and every one of us: does Christ, the Anointed One, live in you? Does Christ, the Anointed One, live inside of you? If He does, you have something that is unbelievably special. You have a treasure that is in an earthen vessel. And you need to share this treasure with others. This treasure is eternal life. And you just got to go to people and say, I've got this treasure of eternal life. Take it. And you give them eternal life. And they take of that eternal life. And they take it to themselves. And then they connect and have a relationship with God. And you pray for them. You encourage them. Encourage them to read the Bible. Get them a small New Testament if they haven't got one. We can always get some. We have some in the church. We want to spread the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Do you know what the good news is? Jesus saves. Jesus is alive. Jesus heals. Jesus provides. That's the good news. And Jesus brings peace in a world full of turmoil and despair. He brings hope where there is no hope. He brings joy where there's sadness. He brings life where there's death. This is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. And so for each and every one of us, we need to daily partake of the Word of God. We need to daily spend time with Him. You know, I talk to Grace every day. Every day. And we spend time together every day. She gets to know me, and I try and get to know her. You like that one? It's right. You know, I can sit there in the lounge and I'll have been told to sit down, be quiet, stop doing, just chill. And you know, my mind starts working and I'm planning things, and all of a sudden she'll say to me, I thought I told you to sit and relax and rest. I am doing. No, you're not. I can see what you're planning something already. I'm like, how does this woman know these things? But for a man to try and say to a lady, you know what's going on, you know, it's rare we have insights. Occasionally we do, you know, but rare, very rare. But to get to know someone, you need to spend time with them. See, when Dilip and I first met, I didn't know him, did I? And the only way I get to know him is when I spend more time with him and I get to know more about him. Same with Charles. You get to know people as you spend time with people. If you want to know God, you need to spend time with him. Isn't it wonderful, that son? Yeah, it gives life, doesn't it? But sometimes it can just be an awkward place.
It's an awkward time, can't it? I know what you mean. Glory to God. But we rejoice in the fact that God has blessed us in our lives. And you know, God can be that sunshine. That word comes alive. When His breath breathes on it, it quickens it. And suddenly it just touches us. And we start to rejoice. We start to get excited, don't we, Esther? We're so excited with the things of God. And you see, that's what God wants. God wants that to happen. He wants, you see, as you get to know people, you spend time with people, and you start doing things together, you can get excited at times, can't you, about things, and you enjoy what God is doing. Even sometimes when we're labouring and painting or dropping buckets of paint on different people, you know, things of that nature happen. And you enjoy, you get to know people, and that life's experiences go on. But at the same time, you see, spiritually, we need to get to know God. You see, God knows everything about you and me. He says he knows the very thoughts and the very intents of our hearts. But we need to get to know Him. We need to know Him. And the only way we know Him is when we start reading the Word of God, when we start talking to Him, when we pray, when we allow His Spirit to begin to fill us and to quicken us. And then when we start getting fuller and fuller, we need to do something with it. It's like this glass. At the moment, it's either half full or half empty, depending how you look at it. You see, then, this is you and me. And this is God. And He begins to pour in of His Spirit into our lives daily. Day by day, God's pouring into us. And He's beginning to fill us and fill us with His Holy Spirit. And constantly we're being filled and we're enjoying it. And we think this is wonderful, what God is doing in our lives. It's so mighty and blessed, and we're so blessed and so encouraged. There comes a point when it has to begin. Sorry, Joan. Has to begin to run over. And as it runs over, that's you and me sharing it, our testimony, with other people. And that's beginning to see new life in Christ Jesus. Souls being saved. Lives being changed. Miracles being done in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is where we need to be. We need to be full and running over with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, and that wherever we go, we leak some of it.
Yes.
You know? Wherever we happen to be, hallelujah. Yeah, glory to Jesus, you know. Hallelujah. Drink. Amen. And know the blessings of God in your life. Let it run over. Let it flow over. Let it minister into the other lives of men and women for His praise and for His glory. You were saved. You were born of the Spirit of God for such a time as this. You weren't born too early. You were not born too late. God's never late. God is always on time. God wants you, each and every one of us, to fulfill our destinies in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be the light in the darkness. He wants you to be the peace
where there's turmoil. He wants you to be the one who brings healing where there's sickness. And we can only do that when Christ and His Word and the Spirit lives in us. And we release that into the lives of men and women. Some of them will say yes. Some of them will say, not today. But at least you've released into their lives. You've sown a seed. And believe God that He will water it and bring the increase. So you and I need to live in that eternal life. You and I need to be able to live with this eternal food, yes, the Word of God, ever within us, quickening us, strengthening us, and causing us to bring life,
yes,
into those who are lost and dead,
yeah,
in trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
Amen. So today, again, the challenge is this week, are you going to bring life,
amen,
to someone who doesn't have life? Are you
going
to share the light,
yes,
to someone that's in darkness?
Yes.
Are you
going to
be the one who goes in and turns the light on for them and shows them Jesus?
Yes.
The Bible says, Jesus said to us, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He didn't say, get your pastor to go out and do it.
No.
Get your prophet to go out and do it. Get the apostle to go out and do it. He said, you go out and do it. The disciples, each and every one of us, is a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Let's go.
Amen.
Let's minister life in Jesus' name.
Praise
Amen. Hallelujah. We'll all be praised.